Welcome to the Wealth Matters Podcast, where investors come together to better understand how to build passive cash flow and create generational wealth without all the confusing mumbo jumbo. Here's your host and co-author of Amazon number one bestseller, Alpesh Pamar.
Welcome to Wealth Matters Podcast. We are going to talk to Mr. Mark Stout today. Mark has been doing construction for over 45 years, and he has been working in the energy efficiency, energy audits and retrofits and certified tax credits, as well as 179D tax deduction since 2009. So welcome, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we don't want to, because I've been looking into the tax credits. I love reading about taxes because it excites me. And because, you know, there is so much more you can do. And of course, we do cost segregation as all our properties and write off a lot of the taxes in the first year. But I have been trying to figure out how the energy tax credits work. So this would be a great episode. But before we get started, tell us something interesting or funny about yourself.
Interesting or funny? that's hard to do. I'm busy working all the time. I don't have fun.
that's funny.
So we do, I like camping and being outdoors and just, you know, enjoying the environment as much as possible. Getting away from the rat life, you know, the rat life, city life, and working all the time. So it's an enjoyable. We got an RV recently. We do a lot of traveling around the country.
Nice.
But during the pandemic, we decided that, you know, we didn't want to do sitting in restaurants and hotels and dealing with everybody who might or might not, you know, have the COVID or whatever. So we purchased an RV and we traveled that around. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, a lot of people bought RV or camper van during COVID, right?
Yeah, I splurged. I got me a 45. I got a big old diesel pusher.
Wow.
So it's like a house on wheels, literally.
Oh, that's big, yeah.
So
that's great. So this is an investment show, so I want to ask you something. Which assets do you personally invest in and why?
I invest in tech mostly because I have a good interest in technology. For a while there, I back in 96, I started a web hosting company, spent some time working at Intel. So I've got a tech background in addition to construction. And we also, you know, delved into some telecommunications. So I got a wide variety in my background. And but I've always liked tech and programming and that kind of thing, kind of leans towards it. I got into energy efficiency almost by happenstance by saving. I had like a $1,500 utility bill and I dropped it down to $120.
Wow.
And I made some minor changes to my house to do it. And I thought, well, you know, I can't be the only one that has a high energy bill that could do some simple measures and get, a lower utility bill and save a few hundred dollars. And so I kind of built the business plan around that and then just started offering my expertise. And that's what we've been doing since 2009.
That's amazing. So when you say invest in tech, means mostly stocks or?
Mostly stocks right now, yeah. Yeah, mostly stocks. We haven't delved too much into the real estate market, but we're looking into that, actually.
Right. It's a good time. I mean, it would be a good time soon, I'm hoping. So.
Yeah, we're like waiting for the interest rates to kind of drop a little more.
Right. So let's talk about the meat of this podcast, right? What are energy tax credits?
Well, energy tax credits are credits available through the federal tax code, the Internal Revenue Code, that if you make certain improvements to your property and then either lease it or sell it, you can get a tax credit based on whether or not your home and the measures that you did either beat a 50% improvement or met Energy Star. It depends on, you know, when you did the upgrades, with what property you're working with, because you can go back 3 years and amend those prior returns. So anything you've done prior to 2023, you could get a $2,000 per door tax credit. Now, in order to get that, you only had to improve the property by 50% over what the energy codes were in 2006. What we would do is model the entire house. We have to look at everything, you know, insulation in the attic, crawl space, wall, type of windows, lighting, appliances, HVAC, water, all that. And if looking at it based on your improvements, if that house as a whole would be 50% better than that house if it was built in 2006, then you would qualify for $2,000 tax credit. If you were working with apartments, it was per door. So if you had a 100-unit apartment complex, you had $200,000 worth of tax credits coming. In 45L then got improved upon, and it was due to expire, and it expired in 2021, and the Inflation Reduction Act made it retroactive. So it went all the way through to 2023. And you could now, but they changed the criteria. Rather than comparing the home to a home that was built in 2006, you had to build your home that complied with the minimum requirements for Energy Star. Now, Energy Star has a program where they want the single family homes or multifamily homes, and you've got certain criteria you got to meet. And if you can meet the minimum criteria for that, then that house would then qualify for the 45L tax credit. The Inflation Reduction Act increased that tax credit to $2,500 for single-family homes. For multifamily, they added that they wanted work done by with paying prevailing wage. So single-family homes, duplexes, townhomes, those kinds, just meet the requirements of Energy Star, you're good to go. But if you got an apartment complex that's multifamily, which is five units or more, now you got to, whoever you're having work do the work, you have to ensure that they're being paid the prevailing wage. Now, a lot of people look at that and they go, oh my God, union wage is now, you know, it's too much money. I'm going to go broke. Right. I can't afford it. And that's not really the case. If you stop and think about what the prevailing wage is, it's only the wage portion that you would pay the worker. And it doesn't tell you when you have to pay it. So you could actually agree to pay the prevailing wage with your contractor. And then when you know, depending on when you get the tax credits, you can then pay him the difference of what he would have paid his guys had he paid him the prevailing wage. That's one way. The other is, you're paying a guy $30 an hour now, just right. That's what you pay. And you look and you see the prevailing wage is $29. Well, you're already paying it, or maybe it's $30. So you're already really paying. Right. Maybe it's $30.50. Well, it's 50 cents an hour that much of a deterrent? No, right. It's pretty much identical, you know? So you might already be at the prevailing wage just from what you're, you know, currently paying your guys now. And you just have to, as the owner of the property, you're the one that's responsible for saying, yeah, they paid them. So what does that entail?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to go and you know, look over your contractor's shoulder to make sure he's paying prevailing wage. You just got to have him certify to you in a declaration or what have you, some kind of proof that he's paying his guys prevailing wage. As long as you have that, you've satisfied the requirements of qualifying for the 45L. On the multifamily, that the contractor paid prevailing wage. You're not policing the contractor.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. That how do you make sure that the contractor is paying his guys, or even if he's paying them fully, right?
You know, you can only ask him for his payroll or whatever documentation that he got that he can provide to you that prove that he's paying those wages. Now, he might make a deal with his employees, right? I mean, you made a deal with them. You said, look, I'll pay you your whatever the wages you're paying. Let's say, take an argument, he's paying $25, but you got to pay five. Yeah. Oh, I mean, 30. There's a $5 difference. Okay, so you figure out how much hours is going to be. You've come up with $50,000 is going to, you know, cost to pay the prevailing wage. But you don't have that in the budget right now. But you would have it if you got the tax credits.
Right.
So he tells his guys, he's going to give them, you know, a bonus at the end of the project. You're going to go into contract and say something like, you know, we'll pay your prevailing wage. You just sign the agreement to pay the prevailing wage. And you negotiate a payment structure of how that's going to work. You do the work. You do your, make your regular payment. You then get the tax credits, or you know you're going to get them. So you have the money, or you know you're going to have the money. And then you just, you know, you can now pay the guy the, you know, the extra $30,000 he was going to pay. And maybe you did that right as you filed the tax returns, or maybe, you know, because you know you're getting your credits, you got your certificates, you're going to take money from somewhere else. No one is going to come back in. So you're just moving money around really at this point. But the law doesn't tell you when you have to make those payments. It just says you have to ensure that the workers were paid a prevailing wage. Then put a requirement onto you as far as when or how to do that.
Got it. No, that makes sense. So is there, does someone need to qualify to receive these tax credits? Like, you know, in depreciation, well, and I'm just going back to cost segregation, right? And this year it's 80%. You can, you know, bonus depreciate it. But a lot of it cannot get be applied to people, let's say, who live in California, right? Because they all make over 200, 300 grand, and most of the depreciation they can't use to write off their income, right? So how can some, is there any qualification needed on the tax credit side?
No.
So anyone can just, you know, pretty much write off.
You get an apartment, you get a house, you fix it up, it meets the Energy Star requirements in 2023 going forward. The 45L tax credits available from the current version is available from 2023 to 2032. So we got like a 10-year period. And then, of course, you can still go back and amend prior year returns as far back as you can go and pick up tax credits that way. But yeah, as long as you've met the criteria for qualifying for the tax credit, you qualify for the tax credit. There's no income level requirements. There's no limitations. There's no litmus test.
Got it. No, that's great. So it leads to me to my next question, which is, why is it a good idea to get tax credits over depreciation?
Well, it's a good idea because it helps offset the cost of the upgrade, number one. If you look at the, if you do it right, retrofits actually make you money. I mean, you're looking at them as a capital expense, first off. And you're saying, well, I'm going to have to spend, you know, $20,000 upgrading this house. Okay, well, you spent 20 grand upgrading the house. But when you start factoring in your return on investment, you might end up with $40,000 coming back at you. That's 20 grand right. more than you spent, right? So you actually made money making, doing these retrofits. And the reason, you know, one of the things that I say about it is, you know, don't look at it as a capital expense, look at it as a strategic investment, because it really is a strategically invested money, and you're getting your return coming back on you in varying aspects. So when you add it all up, tax credits, tax deduction, you know, appreciation, evaluation, that all increased rental rates, that all goes towards your return on investment. And you start to add all that up, and now you've got more money coming back to you than you did when you spent the money. And we've done this day in and day out.
How do you help clients in getting this energy tax credits then? Where do you come into picture?
We typically would like to get in when you're first starting out. The ideal time to get us involved is when you're looking at some property, you're creating a budget to go buy whatever it is you're going to buy, and you know you're going to have to upgrade it, and you've got a budget for it, and you kind of know what you want to upgrade. Getting us involved there, let us look at your game plan. If you got architectural plans, that's even better. But let us know what you're trying to do. We can look at the property, look at what you want to do, make adjustments, let you know where you need to make those adjustments at, what those costs might be in relationship to what you're already expecting to pay. We'll show you what you're going to get a return on your investment. And then, it's up to you at that point whether you want to do it or not.
Okay, no, that makes sense. And you mentioned single family. Do you also help on the single family side, or is it not worth for a single family owner to work with your firm?
Oh, we do them all. single family, multifamily, commercial, everybody.
Got it. And so do you help with just the tax credit, or you also provide support in getting the work done?
We also provide support in getting the work done if that's what you need. We have contractors that we use that can, they understand the building science behind what's necessary to get the efficiency. And then that way you can guarantee that you're going to get the tax credits.
Got it. Can you share an example or two on how, you were able to help a single family owner or maybe multifamily owner, and what kind of savings did they have?
A single family homes are typically, you're going to get, basically from an energy efficiency standpoint, it depends on what you want to do and what's already in the house. Because remember, we're taking the house as it stands right now, and we're measuring it. And then we're saying, okay, if you got to get, currently you have to get a energy rating score, which I believe is about 60. And then we're going to model that as it stands currently and see where you land on that energy rating index. If you meet it, then there's really nothing left really to do if you're going to be already there, other than, maybe upgrading the HVAC system. So we're going to look at the HVAC system, the water heater. Those are the two main ones. Single pane windows, upgrading to a decent window, or the others. But you're looking at the shell of the building first. And the whole criteria for the tax credit is to reduce the carbon emissions in that house. So just when you're thinking about upgrading, think about that as your criteria. How can I reduce the energy or the carbon emissions that this house is going to emit? That's going to drive a lot of the issues that are going to qualify you for the tax credits easily enough. And then, of course, like I said, those investments actually pay for themselves. So you actually end up making money on the back end when you start to make these investments.
And can you share numbers on one of those deals where you were able to help a multifamily or single family owner? On how much, what all was done, how much did it cost them, and
I had one up in Oregon. They bought the property for $265,000. They dumped about $4.5 million into it. They got, I think it was two, it was 100 units. They got $2,500 per unit. So they got what, 250, whatever, 100 1, times 25, yeah. What is that, 2.5 million? So 250,000, yeah, in tax credits.
And what was done?
It was a brand new build. So they did
everything. Brand new build. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a brand new build. The typical typical retrofits on a single family home, say, something like around 1,800 square feet or so, even 1,200, you're only looking at about, from an energy efficiency perspective, you're probably working with a value between $50,000 and $30,000, just depending on the size of the house. And then you're getting back, you're going to get back, obviously the $2,500. But we always went through the depreciation. So, you got 80% there. You've got anything you take off of that house, you are able to depreciate, because that unit, you walk in, you buy a house, got an air conditioning, it's got a furnace, it's got a water heater, you're upgrading all that. IRS don't want you depreciating two HVAC systems, two water heaters. They want you to depreciate and get rid of the take off the books, the old stuff. Well, that's a typical, generally speaking, rule of thumb, we usually use a number around 40%. So, and that's of the new. So if the water heater costs you, $2,500 to put in, take 40% of that, and that's about the deduction for the old water heater. If it costs you $15,000 to put the HVAC system in, figure 40% of 15, and that's your deduction for the old HVAC system. Now, these are old HVAC systems. They might be old, but they're new to you. And you're depreciating them for 27 and a half years. So you've got to figure out, and then we help you, how much does that HVAC system cost in relationship to the entire build, entire property. And then we can calculate what that is and take it off as a depreciation. And so you're really going to get a whole lot of depreciation back. And then it's an investment property. So depreciation, the value, is like everything else. You know, that house has an operating cost. That operating cost is the rent or the mortgage and the utility bill. You know, so if you can reduce the operating cost of that house, it's like any other operation in a business. If you can reduce your expenses, increase your profits. And how much does that appreciate in the valuation of the property? There's calculations for that. You know, you get into net operating income, you get into capitalization rates, you use standard accounting practices and formulas to appreciate the value based on those improvements. And that increases, that translates into equity. And equity is what you're going to earn when you sell the property.
Got it. No, that's amazing. Thank you for explaining this. Anything else you want to add to energy tax credits?
Energy tax credits are pretty simple to get. You just got to look, keep an eye on thinking about basically what you want to do to improve the efficiency of that home. And that the more you do, the more you're going to get yourself closer to the point where you can qualify for the tax credits.
And do you think this can also apply to properties like mobile home parks, senior housing facilities, retail shopping center, et cetera?
Yeah, you can get the 45 bill is good for the low income, low residential, low residential housing. So that would be single family homes, duplexes, townhomes, row homes, senior centers, multiple, high rise is available for high rise today. High rise gets both 179D tax deductions as well as the 45L tax credit. So used to be if you're 2022 or before, it was limited to three stories or less. But the Inflation Reduction Act removed the height limitation on 45L. So you can take a six-story apartment complex, good to go with 45L. Strip malls or commercials, they don't get the 45L. They would qualify for the 179D. Remember, 45L is residential. So anything that's residential, it qualifies for 45L. Most anything that's commercial would qualify for the 179D tax deduction.
Let's say office building or retail shopping center, they don't receive the tax credits. Like
they don't have a tax credit, they have a tax deduction.
Yeah,
and it starts at $250 per square foot and goes up to $5 per square foot. But it uses the different method of achieving the accountability. They're looking at ASRA level standards, the 90.1 ASRA standard. And if you can meet that or beat that by 25%, and I think the code is 2013, you're good to go. And that's pretty easy to get. So they haven't made these barriers very hard to cross and get over. You just have to take the steps to get there. And the criteria is knowing what is it that I need to do? You know, HVAC system, everybody thinks they just put an HVAC system in, they're good to go. Well, that only accounts for a portion of it. And then there's also, you can take out an inefficient system, put in an efficient system and walk away with no better efficiency than you started with. So unless you know what you're doing with the building science, it can, you're going to spend the money thinking you're going to qualify. I'm going to come along behind you. And I'm going to look at everything and see what you did. And I'm going to go, you didn't do this and that. Sorry, you don't qualify. Had you done this and that, and that's the worst thing you want to hear me say. Had you done this, right?
Yeah, after spending so much time, money, and resources, you want to do it right.
Right. And these things, like I said, they pay for themselves. These are, it used to be, you get in as cheap as possible, get out with as much as you can get from it. That still plays out. That's still the thing. That's still the game. But you can increase what you're going to pull out of it if you do it the right way. And that's where we come in.
So can you share the secret on how you reduce your energy bill from $1,500 to less than $200?
It's amazingly enough. I had like at the time back in 08, I had a house that had like 26 incandescent bulbs.
And at the time,
I didn't have, and I had six exterior doors. I had two water heaters, and two HVAC systems. Sealed up the house, weather stripped the doors, weather stripped the attic access and all that. Did a poor man's blower door. Poor man blower door is to shut all the doors and windows, turn on all the exhaust fans, open up all the interior doors, and walk around with a, we used a punk, you know, we used to light fireworks with, to go along the light switches and find all these air things. Put these foam inserts in the light switches and the plugs on the exterior wall. Swapped out the light bulbs for fluorescent because we didn't have LEDs at the time. And my next bill dropped to $120, and I was astonished. I couldn't believe it. Didn't believe it. I thought, partial month. That's all that was, right? But I monitored it for the next 8 months, and it never appreciated more. Or the bill went from like $1,500 down to about $120-something. And then it went from there, it only fluctuated about $10.
Wow.
I think I got to almost $129 in an 8 month period. And I thought, well, okay. I mean, I did some simple measures. I think I spent like $200 at Home Depot and maybe a couple of hours on a Saturday afternoon doing all this work. And that was it.
Yeah.
I thought, well, gee, I can't be the only one that, you know, could save money on their energy bill.
Right.
No, and that's what got me. I figured if it was worth it for me, it'd be worth it for you.
Right.
And then it blossomed out of that. And my whole focus has been, you know, getting you to become energy efficient, but doing so that it doesn't break the bank, right? You know, who wants to spend $1 million to save $20? Nobody, right? But if you can spend $1 million, save $20, and make $1.2 million, well, now we're talking.
Right. No, this is great. Thank you. Are you ready for fire round?
Yeah.
Would you be changing business or investment strategy because of the current environment? You know, the inflation is still high, the interest rates are even higher.
There's financing out there that you can take advantage of that one or more, or PACE in certain areas is available to you in your area. PACE will doesn't look at your credit, doesn't look at your income level. It looks at the value of the property. And the value of that property could be what Zillow says. Or you can go out and get yourself an appraisal and use that if it's higher. The way it works is they create a special tax district, which is basically the boundaries of your property. And in that way, they're able to lend you money. And like anything else where there's or in California, it's called Miller Rouge, but in all of the other areas, it's just, you know, you put a bond measure. The easiest way I can explain it is the local county, state, whatever, they put out a bond issue. Everybody votes on it, right? Measure M is going to say improve the local schools. They're going to improve the local schools. So they need all this money to do so. So they put a bond issue on the ballot. Everybody that's in that district that goes to those schools votes on that measure. If it passes, everybody pays a little bit on the property tax, right? And if you sell the house and a buyer comes in, now he's paying it. That's how Miller Rouge works here in California. It's similar across the country.
Yeah.
So what they do, but what they're looking at is that district, they've created what's called a special tax district, and anybody who's inside that tax district is responsible for paying back the loan. That's why it's on your property tax bill. Same thing happens, same principle, only it's your property. It's your property line. That's the tax district. That's the special tax district. And now the banks can lend you money. Your counties approve of it. And once it approves, they lend you the money based on the value of the house. Now, the upside of this is it takes about 12, you know, maybe 14 months before you have to start making your first payment. So you might borrow $20,000 to upgrade your house. You've even sold it, but you haven't even paid anything on this loan that you took out, that $20,000, to do all these upgrades. So when you sell the house, you take the money back. There's no early payment, prepayment penalties, and you pay off the $20,000, right? There might be some processing fees, but it basically just going to pay off the $20,000 with the proceeds from the house that you made. So the whole thing costs you nothing. If you decide to keep it and you're going to be leasing out these properties, then you can pay it, either pay it off or you can pay it on your property tax. It's like any other loan. It amortizes on a monthly basis. They just accumulate 6 months and they put it on one tax bill and take the other 6 months and put it on another tax bill, or give you two chances to pay it if you're in a state like in Texas where your tax bill comes due in January and you know you've got however many times they're going to allow you to pay it. Because I think they allow you to pay, make a couple of payments in that way.
That's great, yeah.
So that's one way. The other one is there's lots of energy efficiency loans that are specifically geared towards reducing or energy efficiency upgrades. And so you can borrow those money and they amortize just like anything else. They're standard loans, but they're geared towards making improvements to the property to reduce, one, energy use, and two, carbon emissions. Like going back to the PACE and most green loans, you can do patio covers. Why that? Well, because patio covers tend to shade windows when the sun's beating down on them, and that saves energy. So a patio cover would be covered. Concrete, you want to put in a patio and some walkways. Water management comes into play at that respect. You want to put some indigenous plants in that are good to the area that don't use as much water. That's covered. Anything inside of the house that, for example, siding on the side of the house could be covered. Why? Well, that goes towards air sealing and airflow in the house. So there's a lot of things that you can use this money for to improve a house that does two things. It improves the efficiency, reduces the carbon emissions, and increases the value of that house. Because you're looking at the mark, you're looking now at the composition, your comps. Who are you looking at now? You've created this house that's more efficient than the next door neighbor. He's selling his house, but all he's done is put a pool in or maybe upgraded the kitchen. He's done some eye candy. He hasn't done anything else to the house. He's not your comp. Your comp is a more newer home that's a little bit more comfortable, a lot more efficient, and that's the comps you're going to be comparing against, not the neighbor who didn't do anything. He's got a $300, $400 utility bill. You got a $50 utility bill. How are you comparable? You're not. Right.
Well, this is great. How do you give back?
I'm sorry, what?
How do you give back?
How do I give back? We have a lot of low-income housing projects that we look at, and we help low-income housing homeowners take advantage of these tax credits, and we help with the funding and the retrofits. So we manage those retrofits, the same with the small businesses. So we provide, they don't have the wherewithal and the money and the finances and the knowledge to get it and do it themselves. And they're paying a high price for, you know, electric bills and utilities and what have you. So we kind of have to give them the ability to kind of compete with the bigger guys, so to speak, who have the money that can make these investments and take advantage of the credits and what have you.
This is great. How can my listeners reach out to you?
They can reach out to energy@ustgai.com. That would be the best way to get a hold of me.
Got it. Thank you so much, Mark, for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to the Wealth Matters podcast. If you enjoyed it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes so others can enjoy the show too. Have a great week and happy investing!